Morning, everyone. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Welcome to the February 13th, 2024 meeting of the Colorado River Basin Regional Water Quality Control Board. For everyone joining us in the meeting room, please turn off or silence your cell phones. This meeting is being webcasted and recorded, so please speak clearly. This meeting is being conducted in a physical location and is also available via remote access. For people who only want to listen or watch the meeting, the board's customary webcast is available. For those in the Zoom meeting, you will be muted with your camera off until it is your turn to speak. The host will then unmute you and ask you to turn on your camera if you have one. When you are done speaking and the board members have completed asking questions, you will be placed on mute and your camera turned off. You can remain in the Zoom meeting until the completion of your item and then may choose to exit the meeting or continue. I would like to note that there was a typo on the agenda. Item 3 identified the minutes for the December meeting as being held in 2024. The correct date is December 12, 2023. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Peter, would you lead us?
Sure, all right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Chair Music.
Present.
Vice Chair Satin.
Present.
Board Member Gonzalez.
Good morning, present.
Board Member Perez.
Present.
Board Member Wright.
Here.
Chair Music, we have a quorum.
Thank you. The purpose of this public meeting is for regional board members to obtain testimony and information from concerned and affected parties within the Colorado River Basin region regarding water quality issues. Item 2 is the public forum. We welcome hearing from the public at this meeting. Any person wishing to speak should have submitted a speaker request as described in the agenda instructions. For those items listed on today's agenda, you will make your comments at the time the item is being considered. If you wish to speak on an item that is not on the agenda, you may speak now during public forum. Comments will generally be limited to 3 minutes. The board clerk can now identify the speakers who have submitted speaker cards for the public forum. Do we have any requests?
Yes, we do. Candace Youngberg.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. I just want to make a comment in regards to Bombay Beach and the straw bales that they put out. They have been using our hydrant to fill up a water tank to go water whatever or irrigate whatever they're trying to grow out there. And it has we have brand new roads put in last year. And they are now getting chewed up because the guy that does the water makes a muddy mess and the gravel and the rocks just in the spot where he goes in and out of the state park area. Another thing is that the straw bales have become a nuisance as far as quality of air in our town because people's air filters and their vehicles are now getting clogged with straw and it's causing an motor problems with them, and I'm one of them that had that happen to me. My car broke down, and also the breathing issues that is coming around with all that too. I'm not sure if they have a right to use the water the fire hydrant all the time and make that mess, but I think they should be like careful and not like messing up our brand new streets that we had to fight for a long time. I'm finished. Sorry.
Thank you. As far as usage of the fire department,
usually that's not within our jurisdiction.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Any others?
No, that would be it.
Okay. We'll move to item 3, approval of minutes. We now move on agenda item 3, which is the review and approval of the minutes for the board's prior meeting on December 12, 2023.
Yes, I have a correction on
The minutes for the uncontested calendar, they would be items 6, 7, 8, and 9. There is a vote missing and a motion missing on the written part here. So I hear that Dave is going to be reading something for us.
Yes, sorry about that. I have the new language here. So I propose that for the minutes, from the December 12th meeting, immediately prior to the contested and discussion calendar of items, so just one line above that, we would include language that would read as follows. Motion to approve agenda items 6 through 9. Peter Satin moved. Beatrice Gonzalez seconded. A roll call vote was taken. Ed Music, aye. Peter Satin, aye. Beatrice Gonzalez, aye. Vivian Perez, aye. Nancy Wright, aye. Motion carried unanimously, unanimously to adopt agenda items 6 through 9. That would should fix the issue.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of December 12th.
I'll second.
Subject to the corrections that our attorney just read.
Roll call vote, please.
Chair Music?
Aye.
Vice Chair Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Item 4, we will have an update from Laurel Firestone of the State Water Resource Control Board. Good morning, Laurel.
Good morning. Good to see you all. Sorry to be remote, but as you'll hear, we have new restrictions on travel. So I won't be down there in person as much as I would like to, but it's good to be with you today. And I wanted to use my time to not just do a regular update, but also give a quick update on the January 10 budget that the governor released in terms of how it impacts the water boards, and a brief overview of our strategic planning process, which really is just an annual strategic work plan. It kind of highlights what our big priorities are this coming year. And then I'll talk a little bit about some more immediate things coming up that I know are of interest and particular relevance to this region. So starting with the January 10 budget, this is a proposed budget. Every year, the governor will release a January 10 budget for the next fiscal year. And it's really a state spending plan that then the legislature will ultimately pass a final budget in June. So this doesn't take immediate effect. This is really a proposal for what's coming. But because it's very significant, it's important to go through what is being proposed because that does impact our planning. The state, and as you may have heard, is facing an estimated $37.9 billion deficit. And so really across the board, there have been efforts to trim back and see what we can cut back. Overall, the water boards fared fairly well despite that. The main two areas that we are seeing cutbacks are in our grant programs and specifically around water recycling and groundwater cleanup. We're maintaining $348 million that was previously allocated to water recycling and groundwater cleanup, but we're delaying $100 million an additional year and then reverting. So that means we'll no longer have $174.4 million that was previously allocated to water recycling and groundwater cleanup out of general fund. So that's really the biggest reduction, an area where I know is a big priority for everyone, including the governor, around water recycling and groundwater cleanup. And so As you know, he said in previous efforts, I think this is an area, especially as we look to bonds, that we know where there's a huge need around. But the other area is around PFAS funding. So there's a reduction of $30 million for PFAS support. This would have been primarily used to fund planning and construction projects treating PFAS and well installations to avoid PFAS contamination. However, in this case, there's over $450 million in federal funding for emerging contaminants, including PFAS, that's available over the next 5 years through the federal bill infrastructure money. So we're not expecting significant impacts due to that reduction, because we can backfill with, or we can cover things through federal funding, but you know, there's always some impact to, especially if you're having to meet federal cross cutters rather than be able to use state funds. So so sort of big picture, those are the two big areas of impact for the water boards overall. Most really, that's gonna those are either both delaying or reducing grants for those two areas of work. But we did actually get some additional investments to address the Sackett decision, which is the Supreme Court decision that came down that impacted federal permitting and jurisdiction over wetlands, essentially. And so what it means is that we have to do more in state processing around our dredge and fill project permitting, which will impact all the regions because of the Supreme Court decision. And so we were able to, or the governor proposed giving additional investments to support that work at this at the water boards, including some contract funds and staff training and positions. So this is one of the few areas in the budget that that there was a recognition that there needs to be additional investments to protect wetlands and support the additional staff work. So the other thing just to mention, because I know it's really more related to staff, but always but staff is who does our work. Is that there has been a directive to staff and board members, including prohibiting any travel that's not mission critical. And there's also a directive to from CalEPA to move towards a hybrid work with 2 days a week in the office for all staff. There, that is something that's, there's labor discussions around a number of things regarding that shift and whether that will happen and how and when. So a lot of unknowns, but there is that that directive, and we aren't, the governor is not calling for any furloughs or vacancy sweeps at this time, but I think we're always cognizant that we need to fill vacancies quickly, and that could be something in the future. So we want to make sure we're continuing to fill those as quickly as possible. So that's really the overview of the January 10 budget. Again, other than the directive around travel, there's no and our planning around our funding resources, there's nothing's, this is really a budget proposal that isn't finalized until it's passed in, a final's passed in June. I also wanted to go through, just give you a sense of our strategic plan at the State Board. We just went over this ourselves, and there is a link, and you could even watch the meeting where there is an overview on YouTube. But on just our strategic work plan for the next year, this is where, you know, we give an overview, but we also really pull out the very top priorities that we're going to make sure are happening this year. The big areas are, of course, first, providing safe and affordable drinking water and sanitation to Californians. And the big things in for one, the SAFER program is about halfway through. It's going to be hitting the 5-year mark this June. And so we are looking at reflecting and planning to make sure that we're all set up for success over the next 5 years, and learning from our first 5 years of work. There have been many, many successes, and we, you know, continue to have more to do. So I'm happy to give more of an overview at some point on SAFER, but I think that could be coming later when we have our, you know, full overview of that work. We also are underway. We have our wastewater needs assessment underway. And I'll talk more about that later in terms of things to come. We are planning on adopting our Chrome 6 regulations at the beginning of April, finally. And also prioritizing more work in developing our lead and copper rule. There's a ton in there on continuing to be stewards of the environment and our fisheries while we work on permanent in stream flows, temperature regulations, water quality petitions, and again, providing that backstop against the gaps left around wetlands protection in the wake of the Sackett decision. We are continuing to be very focused on our role in moving our water system in California to meet this hotter, drier, more erratic hydrology and extreme hydrology that we're experiencing, including our water rights modernization, improving our drought response efforts, accelerating infrastructure funding pipelines, adopting our urban water use efficiency regulations, which I will also mention more about in the more short-term work, and really working on the long list of water supply side work that the governor set out in his water supply strategy, which includes permitting groundwater recharge, water storage projects, expansion of recycled water, brackish and seawater desal, and stormwater capture. Two things I did want to just mention around stormwater, because I know they're particularly of interest to regional boards, is that we are looking to release a public review draft this is an early public review draft of the revised NPDES industrial stormwater general permit, including an evaluation of cost to comply with the secondary maximum contaminant levels for infiltrated stormwater. And we're looking at releasing a public review draft of the updated statewide phase 2 MS4 NPDES permit, which it is for smaller municipalities and schools, among others. So that's more to come on that, but those are two things that we see on the horizon at some point this year, being able to share public review. These are very early public review drafts to get input. And then the last big area to mention is we're just continuing to improve our internal systems, and including actions around trying to advance racial equity, and particularly wanted to call out work we're doing to try to improve language access and tribal engagement efforts. Just for us at the State Board, to give you some sense, we are going to be spending a lot of our time working on stigma. We're taking our first basins through probationary determination hearings this year, and are looking to also be doing a ton on the Bay Delta plan update and implementation, which should be coming back later this spring. So that gives you some sense of kind of the high level priorities and big things we have on our plate that we're looking at this year. Certainly we'll continue salt and sea oversight. We're still planning to have that that annual meeting in May, instead of we've sort of more permanently moved that back to May rather than I think originally it had been in March. We're still, given the budget situation, we're not sure where that will be, if that will be hybrid, or if that will be Sacramento and remote, or if that will be down by the sea. Obviously we want to have them down by the sea, but we're looking at the budget constraints that we're under and whether we need to, what that will look like this year. So more to come on that. I really don't know, but I just wanted to flag that. So with that, I would just go over a couple things that are upcoming. One is just to say we did adopt in December final direct potable reuse recycled water regs, and that is continuing through the Administrative Procedures Act process, and we're expecting that to finish its overall Administrative Procedures Act process by July 2024. So that is happening, and that's really exciting that we have a regulatory route there for direct potable reuse. We have, I mentioned there's a wastewater needs assessment where there is a statewide advisory group, and we're looking for applications. Those are going to be accepted through February 29th. And it is, there's information on what's involved in participating in that through our wastewater needs assessment website in both English and Spanish. And there will be language services provided for participation in that group. So encourage folks from this region to apply. I know there's a number of efforts going on around wastewater needs in the region, especially for smaller low-income communities. There's a, as I mentioned, we're working on our Chrome 6 regs, and we are looking to, we released an additional few documents on January 30th around some financial and impact analysis. We comments are close on February 19th, 2024 for that at noon. And we are looking to have an adoption hearing on April 3rd. So many, many years coming, and we're looking forward to having some clarity and certainty for everyone and on that adoption hearing on the 3rd. And lastly, the water use efficiency regulations, conservation regulations. These are, there's been many, many, many meetings with, around small groups with stakeholders to work through a whole host of issues in terms of how to make water use efficiency regs work better. We are aiming, so this is very tentative, but just to give folks a sense, we're aiming right now to be able to share a new draft in mid-March, and still hoping to be able to have public comment period and public process around it until we and hoping to adopt in July. So that if we stay on schedule with that, that would become effective January 1st of next year. So with that, a lot of information, but I'm happy to answer any questions and appreciate being here.
Thank you. Any questions?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
Thanks. Good to see you. Wanted to ask about with the septic to sewer project. Is that also included in the budget? I think at the chair's meeting or something, it was mentioned that that was one of the things that would be probably would have some money for. Yes? No?
Yes.
That's still there?
That is still there. There's septic to sewer project money. There is huge demand for that. So we have, I think, way more demand than funding, but we do have a good amount of funding for clean water projects, including septic to sewer. And that wasn't one of the ones that was cut back. And we will be working on our intended use plan and policies to kind of talk through what the and figure out how to prioritize. But septic to sewer remains a top priority. There is funding for it. There's also a ton of demand. And as you guys know, at least as well as others, those projects are really expensive.
Yes.
But important.
Very worthwhile. Yes.
Very important.
Yeah. Groundwater protection around our country here.
Yeah.
Carl, regarding Chrome 6, will there be grants available for the entities where it's a financial hardship?
Yeah, so Chrome 6, that's part of what we were looking at, in leading up to the adoption is understanding what options may be. But in general, Chrome 6, with the new MCL, it means that those projects would be ranked in the highest, any system that has to do a project to meet the MCL would be ranked in the highest priority. And so there are grants and loans to support those projects. Of course, they're competitive and there is limited funding out there. I think it is harder for kind of mid to larger systems to access grant money than it is for smaller systems, but they may be able to afford loans. That's something we're really trying to wrap our heads around because, I know in this region in particular, 29 Palms, for example, has talked to us. This whole region has a lot of Chrome 6. I think we're all hoping that the treatment technology and, Stannis treatment technology that's being piloted and is much cheaper to operate will work and it will be something we can support so that it isn't such a big financial impact as it would be otherwise. But no matter what, I think we're really trying to evaluate how to support affordability and make sure that systems have the financial support to be able to put in the treatment or find new sources or blending or whatever it is that they need to do to be able to provide safe water.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you for the update. Have a great
day.
Thank
you. You too.
Thanks. We'll move to the uncontested calendar of items for adoption, agenda items 5 and 6. All items appearing under the uncontested items calendar are acted upon the board in one motion without discussion. At this time, there are 2 items on the uncontested calendar, agenda items 5 and 6. Item 5 is a waste discharge requirements order for San Bernardino County's Dola Ditch Replacement Bridge Project. Item 6 is waste discharge requirements order for San Bernardino County's Lancet Ditch Bridge Replacement Project. Does any board member wish to remove any item from the uncontested calendar? If any member of the public wishes to remove an item from the uncontested calendar, you will need to have filled out a speaker card. Madam Clerk, are there any speaker cards on this item?
No, there is not.
May I get a motion and a second to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Chair Music?
Aye.
Vice Chair Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say one thing about that. That's going to make a big difference in that road out there. I don't know if anybody's been out there, but those bridges that have collapsed twice now, I guess some of them even in the last several years, you can't get down that road. And that is Route 66. So it's really good to see that's happening.
I am now opening the hearing on agenda item 7, which is a waste discharge requirements order and the corresponding monitoring and reporting program for the City of Palm Springs Wastewater Treatment Plant. Madam Clerk, are there any speaker cards for this agenda item?
No, there is not. However, the discharger is available for questions.
Thank you. I will now administer the oath. All persons intending to speak on this item, raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to receive is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury? If so, answer, I do. The order of the speakers for this item are presentation by Adrian Lopez, board staff, comments from the discharger, comments from the public, board member comments and discussion, and then we'll close the hearing. Let us begin with Adrian Lopez.
There we go. Good morning, Chair Music, members of the board, and members of the public. My name is Adrian Lopez. I'm a water resource control engineer in the land disposal unit, and I have taken the oath. Today, I'll be presenting on a tentative order for the Palm Springs Wastewater Treatment Plant in Riverside County. Next slide, please. Thank you. The City of Palm Springs owns the wastewater treatment plant and provides sewage service to the city. The plant is operated by Veolia. Throughout this presentation, I'll be referring to the City of Palm Springs as a discharger and the Palm Springs Wastewater Treatment Plant as the facility. The map on this slide shows the location of the facility outlined in black. The discharge is currently regulated under Order R7-2017-0013.
Excuse me one second. Is this supposed to be on our screens, this presentation? Because it's not. We have a picture of the boardroom.
So I also wanted to note that the discharger did request to move this to an uncontested.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
had a copy.
The city of Palm Springs, yeah, but it's not up there. Well, it's probably more important.
I keep trying to.
It's not the whole screen, but it's on there.
Oh, okay.
And then on the side is every all the presenter.
Yeah. Well, no, we're still on the application versus the presentation.
The students.
Oh, I'm like, switch the dice.
Okay, this one.
You just click down? Yeah.
So are you seeing on your screen? Yeah, but it's smaller now. Hit the box up. Yes, hit that.
And then you need to put it up on the big screens.
It's already on the
Not it's
putting that
full
screen on this
one.
But
it's okay. Yeah, but the public
can't
see it.
Oh, it's not.
The public needs that one.
Yeah. It's probably more important to have the public view it. Just put it.
The presentation.
Can
we take
Yeah. Chair Music?
Yes.
I suggest that we take a 5-minute break.
That's a good idea.
And then maybe we'll restart the presentation.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Lopez.
I don't know.
All right, we will resume. Sorry for the delay. Please proceed.
The discharger has asked me to mention again that they will not be contesting the order. So I'll go ahead and start again. Good morning, Chair Music, members of the board, and members of the public. My name is Adrian Lopez. I'm a water resource control engineer in the land disposal unit, and I have taken the oath. Today, I'll be presenting on a tentative order for the Palm Springs Wastewater Treatment Plant in Riverside County. Next slide, please. The city of Palm Springs owns the wastewater treatment plant and provides sewage service to the city. The plant is operated by Veolia. Throughout this presentation, I'll be referring to the City of Palm Springs as the discharger and the Palm Springs Wastewater Treatment Plant as the facility. The map on this slide shows the location of the facility outlined in black. The discharge is currently regulated under Order R7-2017-0013. Next slide, please. Various plant upgrades have occurred at the facility over the past 6 years. These include the installation of a new partial flume, bar screens, primary clarifiers, and hydro gritters. Digester number 2 is currently being replaced with a new digester. Staff took the picture on the right during a site inspection in November of 2023. A new concrete-lined area was also built to store dried sludge. Other plant upgrades include updates to the supervisory control and data acquisition or SCADA system, odor reduction improvements, and updates to the groundwater monitoring network. Next slide, please. This slide shows an aerial image and a process flow diagram for the facility. I'll be going over the treatment process in detail in the next slide. Next slide, please. The facility has a treatment capacity of 10.9 million gallons per day. Wastewater flows from headworks to the preliminary treatment system, which consists of 2 automatic bar screens. Next, wastewater flows to the primary treatment system, which consists of 2 primary clarifiers. Solids settled in the clarifiers are pumped to 4 hydro gritters for grit removal and then to gravity thickeners. Wastewater then flows to the secondary treatment system, which consists of 4 trickling filters and 6 secondary clarifiers. All solids collected in the primary and secondary treatment processes are pumped to 2 gravity thickeners and then to anaerobic digesters. The solids are transferred to sludge drying beds or a belt filter press. Dewatered solids are stored in a concrete-lined impoundment area for eventual removal by a legally permitted hauler. A portion of the facility's effluent is conveyed off-site to the Desert Water Agency's wastewater reclamation plant, where it receives tertiary treatment for use as recycled water. The remaining effluent is discharged to 6 evaporation and percolation ponds. Next slide, please. This image shows the facility in orange, the evaporation and percolation ponds shown in yellow, and the groundwater monitoring network. Modifications were made to the monitoring network in response to the special provisions of the 2017 WDR's order. The modifications included the replacement of monitoring well MW2, shown as a red dot in the image, with new wells MW4, MW5, and MW6, all shown as green dots. Monitoring wells MW1 and MW3, shown as blue dots, were not moved. Next slide, please. The 2017 WDR's order requires updating because Regional Water Board staff noted the following key issues pertaining to the facility. Under the 2017 order, an interim total dissolved solids, or TDS, effluent limitation of 700 milligrams per liter was introduced, but it was only intended to be temporary. As part of the special provisions of the 2017 order, the discharger completed a TDS technical report and provided a recommended final effluent limit. A 5-year review of the discharger's data shows an average total nitrogen concentration of 15.8 milligrams per liter in the effluent, which is greater than the Title 22 primary maximum contaminant level, or MCL, of 10 milligrams per liter for nitrate plus nitrite. Finally, over the past 5 years, the discharger has had total coliform and E. coli detections in the groundwater monitoring network, which may indicate degradation due to pathogen indicator bacteria. In response to these key issues, the tentative order incorporates a new TDS effluent limit and a newly added total nitrogen effluent limit. The proposed effluent limits will be discussed in detail in the next slide. Next slide, please. This tentative order establishes the following key permit requirements. Most notably, the effluent limit for total dissolved solids was updated to 650 milligrams per liter as a 12-month rolling average, which is appropriate based on plant performance while also being protective of water quality. This limit is also proximate to the limit recommended by the discharger in their technical report. Additionally, a total nitrogen effluent limit of 10 milligrams per liter was added with a time schedule to comply within 10 years. This effluent limit is consistent with the MCL of 10 milligrams per liter for nitrate plus nitrite. The tentative order incorporates these effluent limitations to be consistent with applicable laws, regulations, and current facility operations. Next slide, please. The following special provisions are included in the tentative order. The first is for the discharger to submit a TDS technical report to determine a path to meet a 500 milligram per liter effluent limit. This provision also requires the discharger to continue to evaluate TDS source reduction strategies. The next special provision is for the discharger to submit a time schedule to comply with the 10 milligram per liter effluent limit for total nitrogen within 10 years. The final special provision is for the discharger to submit a supplemental groundwater monitoring network assessment. The assessment requires a report to evaluate the adequacy for monitoring of bacteria and a 2-year study using the existing monitoring network. If the assessment identifies deficiencies, the discharger must submit a work plan and propose a time schedule for any necessary changes to the existing network and/or monitoring program. The executive officer may approve a time extension request for special provision deadlines, but in no case shall full compliance with the nitrogen time schedule extend beyond 10 years. Next slide, please. The proposed order was noticed for a required 30-day public comment period, with comments due by January 22, 2024. 3 comments were received from the discharger. The discharger's comments, our responses to those comments, and proposed changes are summarized for consideration by the board in the board meeting binders. The first comment received was a request to change the TDS effluent limit to a 12-month rolling average of 700 milligrams per liter instead of 650. The discharger also requested to remove the TDS effluent limit feasibility study from the special provisions. The Regional Water Board's response is that the effluent limit for TDS of 650 will remain unchanged and is consistent with the anti-degradation policy. The TDS technical report submitted by the discharger as part of the 2017 order recommended a final annual average TDS limit of 687 milligrams per liter, which is lower than the TDS effluent limit requested in this comment. Additionally, the Indio subbasin in which the groundwater is located is considered a high quality water. For example, the municipal supply in the area has a TDS concentration of 349 milligrams per liter. An effluent limit for TDS of 650 allows for a 300 milligram per liter increase over the existing source water. Furthermore, the Regional Water Board found that the 12-month rolling average for TDS in the effluent had not been greater than 638 milligrams per liter over the past 5 years. Thus, the proposed effluent limit is consistent with facility performance and is a limit that the discharger can consistently comply with. The Regional Water Board's position is that source control, investigation, and minimization of contributing sources of TDS is to be an ongoing effort. Finally, an effluent limit feasibility study would ensure the best practicable treatment and control, or BPTC, of the facility's effluent. Next slide, please. The second comment received from the discharger was a disagreement with the effluent limit for total nitrogen of 10 milligrams per liter and the time schedule to achieve compliance within 10 years. Our response is that the anti-degradation policy prohibits the Regional Water Board from authorizing discharges that would result in groundwater not meeting applicable water quality objectives. As stated in the basin plan, the water quality objective for groundwater designated for municipal and domestic beneficial uses is the MCL, which is 10 milligrams per liter for combined nitrate and nitrite. Additionally, the upgradient monitoring well shows average concentrations below 10 milligrams per liter while cross-gradient and down-gradient wells all show higher concentrations of up to 17.3 milligrams per liter for total nitrogen. Overall, facility effluent exceeds the nitrogen MCL by 58%. Even if groundwater is impacted by additional sources outside of the facility, the discharge from the facility is still a contributing source of nitrogen to downgradient groundwater. Next slide, please. The final comment received from the discharger was a request to remove the supplemental groundwater monitoring network assessment from the special provisions of the tentative order. The discharger, however, is willing to conduct a 2-year bacteria study using the existing monitoring network. Regional Water Board staff concur with the broader scope of this comment. Monitoring network modifications were already made in accordance with the special provisions of the 2017 order. However, bacteria detections continue to be a problem. A supplemental assessment is necessary due to these irregular detections. Ensuring sample accuracy and ensuring that samples are not contaminated is essential in qualifying the data. Recent detections have been anecdotally explained as contamination from insects in the wells or other external sources. If the discharger attributes contamination to external sources, the contamination must be qualified. The tentative order was revised to modify the scope of the supplemental groundwater monitoring network assessment. A list of submittal components was removed and replaced with a 2-year bacteria source study using the existing monitoring network. Next slide, please. In summary, staff recommends adoption of the proposed WDR's order for the Palm Springs Wastewater Treatment Plant. This concludes my presentation, and I'll be available for any questions or comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any comments from the discharger? Comments from the public?
No, we do not.
Board member comments and discussion.
Wait a minute, I see a note here. See what I said. Oh, okay. On the number 7, I guess it is. Look at this. Number 36 on
what page?
It says it's page 36. What's the title? Groundwater and surface subsurface conditions is on one page, and flip it over, it's the bottom, and it's number 36 on the next page. The city that is located in, it says Whitewater River Groundwater Replenishment Facility. If that's the one over in the Whitewater Wash, you know, canyon at the end of the canyon there, that's not North Palm Springs, that's Whitewater. It's not even close to North Palm Springs, if that's what that is. So just wanted to clarify that. And because it says there's two, the Mission Creek and then the Whitewater River Replenishment Facility. It's not in North Palm Springs. Number 36.
Are you talking about finding 34?
Pardon?
Are we talking about the findings?
We're looking at page 36.
Okay, number 32, which is groundwater subsurface conditions.
We're talking about findings.
Page 9, item
36. Yeah, there we go. Okay, yeah. Finding 36.
Okay.
Page 9.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry, yeah, I was very confused.
I was confused when I read it was in North Palm Springs.
Fair enough.
Okay. That one, and see, what else did I have? I don't know. I'll look at. So thank you.
I have a question on page 4, item 14. I'd like to know how from 1993 to currently, even though there's been some development, that the flows were reduced by almost 50%. Did they used to take in stormwater? I mean,
Chair Music, before we move on, I have a question for Member Wright. Would you like to change the line in finding 36 from Northern Palm Springs to north of Palm Springs?
It's this.
Well, no. Well, I think it's Whitewater. It's the address there would be, it's in Whitewater Canyon, and the address is Whitewater 92282, not 92258, which is North Palm Springs.
Spoken like a true local.
All right. Noted. Can we make that
Yes. So would you like to just say in Whitewater?
Thank you, Mayor. Nancy.
So the finding 36 on page 9 of the tenant order shall now read sentence. We'll read neighboring recharge is from the Mission Creek groundwater replenishment facility in Desert Hot Springs and the Whitewater River groundwater replenishment facility in Whitewater.
I see where it says northern, but I think that's more, yes, it's in Whitewater. The northern Palm Springs just doesn't make any sense to me living in that area.
Sure.
Nobody says northern Palm Springs.
Whitewater it is.
Okay.
And then regarding the question on water conservation efforts.
Yeah. Sure, Music, would you please repeat your question?
My question is item on page 4, item 14. It claims that from 1993 for 30 years that the flow was reduced by 4 million gallons, even though there's been additional development. So I was wondering, and a lot of the conservation was outdoor conservation, which wouldn't impact the wastewater plant. So what was the biggest reason for the decline in the flows of that significance?
So would the discharger be willing to share an answer on that?
Yeah, but we'd like to have the discharger's representative come up. Yes, and absolutely. Also they'll need to take the oath really quickly. Did you take the oath yet, sir? Would you mind administering the oath, Chair Music?
Would you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury? If so, say I do. Okay. Thank you. Please come up and introduce yourself.
Hello, Chairman and board members. My name is Doug Lohr. I'm the plant manager. I work for Veolia Wastewater Treatment Plant in Palm Springs. The reduction in flows over the past period of time is due to water conservation. I mean, it seems a little bit ridiculous, but I was there in the 90s and the flows were 9.5 million gallons a day. And I'm there now and the flows are 4.5 million gallons a day. And while granted the population has increased somewhat, the flows have gone down consistently.
Were there any big commercial users that have left or?
No. Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay.
We don't have a lot of commercial use at all in the city.
Okay. All right. So
we just
whatever they're doing, they should do that statewide then, because it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's actually to the point now where we have to stop water conservation because the material doesn't get to the plant without enough.
Yeah, you need enough flow and some dilution.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
I just have a quick question, just probably from my own knowledge of just scribbling here while people were talking. Is there a public for the use of the 100% use of the recycled water?
Is there a...
I'm trying to remember what I wrote down here.
I think they're using part of the water for recycling and then they're recharging the basin.
But is there a plan to achieve the effluent limits that we're setting? Is that already in place?
So the process that we're setting in is that they have a time schedule less than 10 years for meeting the effluent limit for nitrate. And the water code requires us to give them a certain latitude in terms of how they go about it and to a lesser extent, how quickly they go about it. And so they are going to get back to us, propose a timeline, or here's what we're going to do to be able to get this effluent to comply with this limit, and here's the timeline for implementing it. And once we approve it, it's incorporated as part of the requirements.
Okay, so right now there isn't like a set plan or time.
We are firmly pushing the ball. It is beginning to roll.
she. Okay. I was just, you know, just curious about some of this. And I'm assuming that I trust that this will also include the provisions under Title 22, right, that allow for the treated use of irrigation and the request for the treatment.
Are you talking about water recycling?
Yeah, right now I don't believe this is a water recycling permit. Right now what it is it's applied to the basin, which is then extracted elsewhere. So when you have water recycling, it's surface irrigation typically. And, you know, the discharger has not proposed to do that at this point, at least in that method of recycling.
So does your plant cover Palm Springs and parts of the Cathedral City? Is that it? But all of Palm Springs? Thank you.
Did you
repeat? Well, we didn't get any of that exchange on mic. Would you mind answering that quickly on the mic? And I should turn on my mic too.
We small parts of Cathedral City we treat, but all of Palm Springs.
Okay. Thank you. Any other board comments or discussion? Okay, the hearing on agenda item 7 is now closed. May I please have a motion to adopt agenda item 7, which is a waste discharge requirements order for the City of Palm Springs Wastewater Treatment Plant and the corresponding monitoring and reporting program.
I'll move inclusive of the edits requested by Chair Board Member 8.
Do I have a second?
And subject
to, the change. Oral change dictated to finding 30.
Finding 36 on page 9.
Yep. Thank you.
May I get us have a second?
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Chair Music?
Aye.
Vice Chair Fatten?
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Item 8, Executive Officer Report from Paula Rasmussen, our Executive Officer.
Good morning, Chair Music.
Good morning.
Members of the board, members of the public. I'm Paula Rasmussen, Executive Officer. We have one new staff that we have hired since our last board meeting, Brianna Allen. Unfortunately, Brianna is not here today, so I would like to introduce her at a future board meeting. Now, as mentioned earlier by State Board Member Firestone, the Department of Finance issued a budget letter to all agencies and departments in December of last year. Because of the general fund budget deficit that is expected during this fiscal year, all entities were to take immediate action to reduce current year expenditures. As a result, limits were placed on orders of new goods, service contracts, IT equipment, fleet vehicles, and office supplies. Expenditures are limited to mission critical items. In addition, all non-essential travel, such as seminars, conferences, and trainings, are not allowed. For any expenses, approval must be obtained in advance from our budget office. This includes any activity, such as work-related travel, where expenses are to be reimbursed for personal vehicles and lodging. Also discussed at prior meetings, plans are in place to renovate our office space. Now, currently, we have not heard of any impacts from the budget freeze on the renovation plans. We also do not have a specific date that is projected for the renovations. So we do plan to utilize the boardroom here until the dates have been confirmed. And I don't have even a slightest idea of when that will be. So I will keep you informed as we hear more.
Okay.
Amendments to the Bagley-Keene Open Meeting Act were effective at the beginning of January. These amendments modify our use of remote meetings. Based on the amendments, we should have a quorum of board members present at the physical location of the meeting. The amendments do allow for some exemptions for board member participation, such as a qualifying disability. Without a quorum present in the physical location, other teleconference locations must be publicly noticed and be accessible to the public. Now, also as referenced by Board Member Firestone, in January, staff were notified by Cal EPA that the agency-wide telework policy would be amended to reflect all staff working in person at least 2 days per week. This change would allow us to continue the benefits of remote work while improving our ability to serve Californians and to support a thriving workforce by fostering collaboration, strengthening our teams, enhancing communication, and continuing to experience work-life balance. The change in policy has been shared with the unions, and no date has been set for the policy change, but it is expected to be effective in the next few months. And that concludes my presentation. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Paula? Thank you. Board member comments?
I just wanted to say that I had I had zoomed in on the Border 2025 Regional Coordinators meeting for Baja California. Most of it, of course, was about San Diego and Tijuana River, but a little bit was about the new river and what was going on there, which it kind of was a slowdown. They had some problems, but I think they picked back up again, according to Paula's report. So that's good to hear. What else do we have? It was quite interesting. It's a long meeting because the way they do it is they first do it in English and then they do it in Spanish instead of interpreting, that way. So it's a long meeting, but it was interesting. Calexico area, the New River Project was probably the biggest topics that, I know, and training in Mexicali and Tijuana. That was also brought up, that the people that work at the treatment plants and whatnot in Mexicali could use some training. I think this is brought up years ago. And I know that years ago, we used to go over and help them and train them. So maybe that's something that we ought to think about looking at also. Okay, also then I did the chairs meeting for the region this month. And there was quite a bit on there, although Laurel, Member Firestone, she did said most of it is the budget. A lot of it was the budget. And so she did most of that this morning. I won't go over all of that. A little bit about racial equity resolution status. They talk somewhat about that on there, what's coming next. But most of it was about the budget. Oh, it introduced Eric Oppenheimer, who is the new executive officer. So we got to say congratulations and welcome. So that was nice. And then I also just tapped into the Salt and Sea Authority meeting on January 18th. Another lot of good information about the Salt and Sea on that particular meeting. So that was it.
Thank you, Nancy. Peter?
I was also attendance at the board chairs meeting, and I won't summarize again the discussions of budget. Nancy, I was, yes.
That was a different one.
So there was discussion of at the February meeting, discussion of budgets, as well as initiation of ideas for WQCC this October and the board chairs meeting in May.
So I was at the January.
Right. Correct. Okay. And I would just like to thank my board for allowing me to be the chair. I think I'm honored and it was a privilege, and I like the fact that we rotate and give everyone that opportunity. Thank you. Now we go to the selection of the chair and vice chair for 2024. May I get a nomination for the chair for 2024?
I would like to nominate Peter Satin for the chair, and I'd like to thank you, Ed, for your service as chair. Do you accept my nomination, Peter?
Okay. Do I have any other nominations? for the chair? All right. Can we have a roll call vote? Or just yay or nay? You don't have anyone running against you. Right.
Chair Buzik?
Aye.
Vice Chair Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Congratulations. May I get a motion for Vice Chair for 2024?
I'd like to nominate Vivian.
Do I have any other nominations?
I accept.
You got it.
So. Roll call, please.
Chair Buzik?
Aye.
Vice Chair Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right.
Thank you. We do not have a closed session. Our next meeting is March 12th, 2024. Once again, I'd like to thank our staff and including our executive officer and assistant executive officer for our well-planned and run meeting. And see you in March. And congratulations, Vivian.
And Peter.
I think it's really great that the two of you accepted, because I think it's really good to spread it around.
You're being weird today. That is the last meeting to go out with a bang.
I still can't believe it.
Go ahead.